of everything in our lives, isn't it? Amen. I mean, I know that I have confidence. Hell has no power over me. Death has been defeated, and that's in Christ alone. And I can live this life with joy and peace and believing in Christ alone. And so I love that. I love all the other songs we sang. Just a great opportunity to gather and sing praises. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to find our text tonight. We have been learning for a long time now on Wednesday nights about the Apostle Peter, his life and ministry, his journey from fisherman to fisher of men, from being one who denied Christ in a crisis to being one who would die for Christ in a crisis. And just so thankful for his life, his testimony, and the lasting legacy God's given us through the written word. And so tonight we're going to be talking about this reality. We need to make our calling and election sure, but we do that through growing diligently in Christ-like virtues. Make your calling and election sure by growing diligently in Christ-like virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3 is where we're going to find our text. Let's pray, and then we'll read the word together. Father, I'm so thankful for the time together and to worship you. Lord, to hear of answered prayers and your people giving praise and thanks to you tonight, to hear other burdens and needs that are on hearts. And we do pray for all of those prayer requests, the sick and the hurting and those who have lost loved ones and those who are just unable to be with us and so many other needs. We pray that you'll help. We pray especially for the lost, our family members and friends, coworkers and classmates, people who we meet in town throughout our week who do not know you. God, we lift them up to you. We pray your Holy Spirit will work in their hearts and lives, and that you'll use us to preach the truth to them, to share the good news of Christ crucified and risen. And Lord, that you'll work in their hearts and bring them to repentance and faith. Lord, let there be a revival in our nation and around the world. God, please bring an awakening to our nation to see many lost come to Christ. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you'll bless in the word tonight. Speak to us through your word by your Spirit. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray, truly, Lord, I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. And Lord, guide us all. Help us to hear and obey by your grace and by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all his people said, amen. Please be seated. Man, there are some powerful, powerful truths that we get to look at here tonight. We'll move through them a little bit quickly, so please stay with me. Peter is giving this letter, reminding us that God has already given his people everything they need for life and godliness through his divine power and his precious promises. And we learned that last time. Rely on the supply of God. That's number one in your outline tonight. Rely on the supply of God. That's verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And he does that, notice, through the knowledge of him that's called you to glory and virtue. And then he says, by those things, he's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, so that by those great and exceeding precious promises. We can partake of the divine nature because through faith we've escaped from the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so it is what God has done. His provision is complete. You have everything you need from God in Jesus. His pathway is through knowledge. And I need you to pay attention to this because you're going to see that knowledge. It sandwiches our text tonight through his supply, what he gives, what we do, and what he gives at the end. And it all is tied together with knowing him. That's the pathway. And his purpose is so that you and I could share in his glory and virtue. And can I just get you to stop for a second and be in awe with me? That the God in heaven who created all of us in absolute perfection, he created everything and mankind in absolute perfection, even though we sinned and rebelled against him, even though we spit in his face, he made a plan, and the design and the purpose of his plan is so that we would join him in glory and receive his goodness. I mean, that's amazing. We can't even comprehend that kind of love. And so that's his purpose, is for you to be saved. For you to be presented blameless before his throne in Christ Jesus, that's God's design and purpose for your life. It's his whole plan. And his promises are exceeding great and precious so that we become partakers with him. And God, Spurgeon said, God has given you a power to be holy, a power to be gracious, a power to be useful. Nothing is lacking on his part. If there is a lack, it lies with us. So we see first, rely on the supply of God. Now, I get it. Sometimes people say, man, I'm trying to live the Christian life, and I just can't do it. You know, I'm trying to do better, and I just can't do it. It seems like the harder I try, the worse things get. The more I try to do what's right, the more things go wrong. Anybody ever felt like that? Or even said those words? Listen to me. Don't depend on yourself. Rely on God's power. You say, well, I can't do it. You're right. You can't. I don't have it in me. You're right. You don't accept for the part that's in you that he put in you through faith. Right. And so you can because he can. So rely on him. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's done. So I don't miss it later. I get wound up and I forget things. But I just want you to see how this knowledge ties together. He says in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me kind of slip down here and give you the end, and then we'll come back a little bit. All of this stuff happens through knowing Jesus. Amen. All of this stuff happens through knowing God. And when you know God and you know Jesus, that happens by faith and by the work of God. And the more you grow in that knowledge, the more you grow in your spiritual life and godliness, then the more that you become fruitful in knowledge. Right. It's just, he keeps giving, and when you live out of that supply, you're giving back, right? You're part of this thing, but as you give into it, then he keeps giving, and you give into it, and he keeps giving, and it is just an amazing thing that just keeps going when we're obedient to him. Amen. So I joked the other day, because I was telling you about when somebody had asked a question, and John MacArthur was one of his interviews, and the question, he asked the question, like, who lives your Christian life, do you or God? And before you answer, let me just, if you say God lives my Christian life, then how do you account for all the mess ups? Like, how do you account for the sin? How do you account for the failure? You say, okay, well, I don't want to blame it on God then. I'll take credit. I'm living my Christian life. Oh, really? You're the one who does good. You're the one who loves. You're the one who has grace. You're the one who has the fruit of the Spirit. You're just doing that yourself. And the whole point is this. You got to see that it's both, right? Amen. Like, you can't do anything without him. Right. But because he is, you can. Amen. And I think there's so much confusion about this reality. Because some people think it's all God and none of us, and other people think it's all us and none of God. And either they're both right or they're both wrong. I don't know. But you have to understand, God is pouring out his supply, but you have to do something with that supply. Amen. Okay? Amen. So that's where you come back to verse 5, and I want to walk through it with you. Beside having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, beside that, isn't that enough? I mean, you've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. What kind of corruption? We're talking about death and decay and eternal separation from God. We're talking about lives that are absolutely and utterly destroyed by sin. We're talking about what's happening out there in the world without God and without Jesus, without hope. And that life, you've escaped that. Amen. Glory to God, you don't have to live that way anymore. You've escaped that, and so where does that bring us? Look at it. Beside this, beside that, giving all diligence, add to your, what's the word? Faith. Okay, I told you the last couple of weeks, the reason you've escaped that corruption is by faith. Well, that's where it's at. It's where he tells us. He didn't talk about faith by name up here, but that's exactly where all this comes from. How did you know God? How did you know Jesus? How did you have the knowledge of God? How did you escape the lust? How did you receive the promises? By faith. It's not by you, it's by him. It's by believing that Christ died for you and rose again. It's by trusting in him alone. And so when you trust in him by faith, then you have all of those things, the exceeding great and precious promises. You are made a partaker of the divine nature of God. You have a home in heaven forever with God through Jesus Christ. And all of that's done by faith. But faith should never, ever, ever be left alone. Faith without works is dead, being alone. You see, we understand this. You're not saved by the works of righteousness which you have done, but by his mercy he saved you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Otherwise you would boast, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Is it clear to you guys? Do you get it? I'm saved by faith. I get all of these promises and all of these benefits by faith, but I can't leave my faith alone. Now, and the reason, you got like, Brother Isaac, you say this stuff all the time. You're wearing us out. But listen, do you have any idea how many people outside those doors are so confused by this? How many people are going to, how many Christians who I think are genuinely saved are going to lay their head on their pillow tonight, terrified if they die in their sleep because they'll end up in hell? You get that? How many people, and how many people on the other side are just trusting in their works, they're boasting in their own righteousness, and they're as lost as a goose because they've never trusted in Christ, they don't have faith, they're just depending on their own works? These things are critical, they're absolutely vital that we understand it. And so we don't want to end up in either ditch. I don't want you to end up in a place where you think it's all about what you do and be legalistic and trust in your own works, but I also don't want you to be over here where you're like, well, I'm saved, so I can do whatever I want to. That's what they accuse us of, but let's not be that. Giving all diligence. Amen. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith. So this phrase, giving all diligence, literally means to give every effort. It means to have an utmost eagerness. It's translated a couple of different times in your Bible in different ways. One of them is endeavoring. Amen. Endeavoring. And I love that. Giving all diligence, endeavoring. There was a ship called the Endeavor. Some of you remember reading about that. An incredible journey to the South. And I just... Endeavor. There was a space shuttle called the Endeavor. Like, it has this idea of going on, of going to greater places and going to greater lengths, and it's almost like an adventurous term. And can I just tell you that your life with Jesus is an adventure? It's a glorious adventure. It's an awesome adventure. It is an endeavor. But listen, endeavoring means that it takes work. It takes effort. Like, you don't get in a sailboat and go to Antarctica and everything's just easy along the way, right? And I know some of you think the astronauts just get in their seat, strap in, and push a button, and that's it. But they train, and they work, and they pour their lives into, their entire lives into being able to go to space. And I'm just trying to say that this idea of endeavoring ought to mean something to you. Amen. Giving all diligence. Now, sometimes the word diligence becomes a bad word around our house because I tell my boys especially to be diligent. Be diligent. What does it mean? It means that you can't be spaced out all the time. You can't be chasing butterflies in your head. You can't be staring out the window. You got to put your head down and you got to do the work. Amen. Everybody with me? I don't know. We can use all the cliches. Stick your nose to the grindstone. I don't know what that even means, why you would do that. Sounds painful and pointless. Yeah. What do we mean by that? It means to keep your head down and keep moving forward. It means to stay focused on your work. It means to keep working. So there is an effort that we put in not to save us. There is an effort that we put in, but not to save us, but because we are saved. Amen. So we give all diligence, give every effort, the utmost eagerness to do what? To add to your faith. Amen. To not leave your faith alone. So give every effort that you have to grow. Give every effort that you have to grow. And this, I mean, I don't know if I ever did before dig into this much, but just studying for this was so awesome to find out what the word add means. He says add to your faith. That's such a tiny word. You'd think it wouldn't mean much. I mean, that's one of the first things we learn in math, right? Addition. It's just 1 + 1 is, good job, kids. Just checking. I mean, that's the easy stuff. But this word add is a really cool word. It means to lavishly supply. It's epikourageo. And epi is a prefix that means that's super abounding, like it's big. So epi, like, really exaggerates something. And the last part is courageo, and it's where we get the word choreography from. Isn't that weird? So this word add to is to be extremely choreographed. Well, that doesn't make much sense to me, because when I think of choreography, it's not really something I'm interested in. But check this out. So they tell me, A.T. Robertson writes, the metaphor is from the Athenian custom of a rich citizen who furnished the chorus at his own expense. And what it means is Christians are to spare no expense in the production of these Christian virtues. So here's what it was. They had a chorus of people, and there was a rich man who would lavishly supply it, who gave them everything they could possibly need to do this production. Okay, that's the picture. So what does it mean? Well, it means that you and I ought to lavishly supply every effort to add to our faith. What's really cool to me is the way this word's used every other time I can find it in the New Testament, it's always about God's supply. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Amen. The same word is used here that ministereth. That's the idea of adding to. And here it is. God is supplying everything you need, multiplying and increasing you. That's from the supply of God, the lavish supply of God. Galatians 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The one who gave you the Spirit, the one who lavishly supplied his Spirit, the one who poured out his Spirit on you. That's what he's talking about. This is how God pours out his Spirit. That's the same idea. Adding to this ministering. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. Colossians 2, 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So this nourishment ministered is that same idea. Here in Colossians 2, Paul's talking about people who are not doing what they ought to do. And he said, the problem is they're not living by the Spirit that God's given them. Amen. God's lavishly supplied a Spirit and they're living contrary to that. And we don't want to do that. We want to understand it comes from God. And then here in 2 Peter, Peter takes this same word that God's used throughout his word in these other places, and he applies it to us. 2 Peter 1, 5, and beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So giving all diligence, add to. And he says, for in so doing, entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the same root word is in that word ministered. And what he's saying is that it's by the supply of God that you're going to enter into heaven. But God wants you to supply in the same way, the same effort. He wants you to supply adding to your faith. Amen. Does that make sense? Yes. Clear as mud? Amen. Hopefully slightly clearer than mud. What I'm trying to tell you is that God has poured into you. Right. And out of that supply, he wants you to use that supply to grow and to add to your faith. Right. What do we add? We add to our faith virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. And our faith ought to lead us to have a different morality than we had before we had faith. Our morals should be excellent. Our morals should be different. They shouldn't, in other words, our morals should be completely different than the world without Christ. Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is to know, but it's discernment, and it's discerning truth for life. It's not just knowing something, but it's knowledge that actually changes the way that you live. And to knowledge, temperance, which is self-control. And to temperance, patience, which is steadfast endurance. And to patience, godliness, which is reverent devotion to God. Amen. Godliness means that you are devoted to God. Godliness, sometimes I think we think has the idea that we are godly, but what it means is that we are devoted to God.
Amen.
To godliness, brotherly kindness. This is that, this family love, familial love, brotherly love. And then charity, which is, of course, the divine love, godly love. So God wants us to add to, he wants us to build up. And I want to take the last few minutes we have here in this study, and we'll dig in a little more to this passage, but just check this out. This is all through the scripture, this idea that what we do, out of God's supply, we supply.
Amen.
Okay? Out of God's supply, we supply. Branches draw life from the vine. We bear fruit by abiding in Christ. That's John 15, right? Joints in your body receive nourishment from the head, so we pass on God's supply to those and to one another in the body. That's Colossians 2, we read that. It comes from the head, Jesus, and it flows through us to one another. As living stones are laid on the cornerstone, we offer up spiritual sacrifices to him in his church, his temple. As the sower receives seed from God, he sows and reaps the harvest. As sheep are fed by the shepherd, they follow his voice and they rest in him. As the clay is formed by the potter, so we are changed by him and made into what he wants us to be. And we serve him. We become vessels for him.
Amen.
As the runner is renewed by God's strength, he runs with endurance with his eyes fixed on Jesus. The soldier takes up the armor that God gives him. He fights the battle for God.
Amen.
As the builder builds on Christ, the foundation, he builds a life that will last for the glory of God. The farmer plants and he waters, but God gives the increase. And in all of those pictures, whether it's your body or it's agricultural or whatever the picture is, it's always from God through us back to God.
Amen.
It's always that supply from him and to him and for him. And I think it's a beautiful picture here where God, I mean, he says, add to. Where does that come from? It's the whole idea that God has lavishly supplied us. He has given to us and we grow because he has given to us. I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me tonight. And we're going to end our service tonight with a song of invitation. And while we're getting ready for that, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Father, thank you for time in your word tonight, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. If anyone who's heard this message has never been born again, they haven't put their faith in Jesus, I pray even now they would do that. They would trust in you with all their heart. Lord, those who have been saved but not baptized, they'll step out and follow you and identify with Christ through the waters of baptism to picture your death and resurrection, walk in newness of life. And Father, I pray that you'll help all of us to hear and obey your word, convict our hearts, and Lord, just help us to be who you want us to be and to do the things you've called us to do. Let your will be done in every life, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Number 559.
you have a follow-up sheet that you've done, you got some notes on it, please be sure to turn that in my office on the table. Don't forget to come check these out. And seriously, you're like, I don't know if I can do that. I promise you can. Just come look through the stack and pray about it. See if there's somebody in there God touched your heart about. You can call, visit, text, or something. But it means the world to people to hear from you. Maybe just send them a card. Sometimes hit the card to make your day. So, any last words? All right. A pastor used to say, if every heart and mind was clear, and I would always think, well, that's pretty empty. Anybody else? All right. Thank you so much for being here. Grab a follow-up sheet. Don't forget to make sure you're stocked up on gospel tracts. Put the Old Settlers Day on your schedule, please. And if you are willing and able to go to Tulsa on the 22nd, please give it to Brother Jimmy. Men and boys, camp out is on fall break. That's October 17th and 18th. We're going to go to Greenleaf State Park. We'll be having some sign-up sheets coming up pretty soon about what you might bring to help out, stuff like that. But we have a great time of fellowship and worship, and some of y'all might even catch a fish. It's like any other times, probably not, but you might. Anything else? Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget.